the Mediterranean Sea, 17 miles southeast of Lampedusa Island. A shadowy figure drifted toward the seafloor in a leisurely, controlled descent. Seen from below, the diver looked more like a messenger descending from the heavens than a man. His shape was enhanced by twin scuba tanks, a bulky harness, and a propulsion unit strapped to his back that came complete with a stubby set of wings. Adding to the image was a halo of illumination from two shoulder-mounted lights that cast their yellow beams into the darkness. Reaching 100-foot depth and close to the seafloor, he could easily make out a circle of light on the bottom. Within it, a group of orange-clad divers were busy excavating a discovery that would add to the epic history of the Punic Wars between Carthage and Rome.
"Kurt, this is Gary," a voice said. "You and Zavala reading me okay?"
Gary Reynolds was the Sea Dragon's skipper.
"Loud and clear," Kurt said. "I see you've got us on a private channel. Is something wrong?"
"Afraid so. We've picked up a distress call, and I'm not sure how to respond."
"Why is that?"
Kurt asked.
"Because the call isn't coming from a vessel," Reynolds said. "It's coming from Lampedusa."
"From the island?"
Lampedusa was a small island with a population of 5,000. It was Italian territory, but was actually closer to Libya than the southern tip of Sicily. The Sea Dragon had docked there for one night each week, picking up supplies and refueling before heading back out to hold station over the wreck site. Even now, there were five members of NUMA on shore, handling the logistics and cataloging the artifacts recovered from the dig. Joe asked the obvious question.
"Why would someone on an island feel the need to broadcast a distress call on a marine channel?"
"No idea," Reynolds said. "The guys in the radio room were sharp enough to flip on the recorder when they realized what they were hearing."
"Can you play it for us?"
"Thought you'd never ask," Reynolds said. "Stand by."
After a delay of several seconds, Kurt heard the hum of static and a bit of feedback before a voice could be heard speaking. Kurt couldn't make out the first dozen words or so, but then the signal cleared and the voice became stronger. It was a woman's voice, a woman who sounded calm and yet in great need at the same time. She spoke in Italian for 20 seconds and then switched to English.
"I say again, this is Dr. Renata Ambrosini. We have been attacked, now trapped in the hospital, desperately need assistance. We are sealed in and our oxygen is running low. Please respond."
A few seconds of static followed, and then the message repeated.
"Any traffic on the emergency bands?"
Joe asked.
"Nothing," Reynolds said.
"But out of abundance of caution, I put in a call to the logistics team. No one's picking up."
"That's odd," Joe said. "Someone is supposed to be manning the radio at all times while we're out here."
Kurt agreed.
"Call someone else," he suggested. "There's an Italian Coast Guard station in the harbor. See if you can raise the commandant there."
"Already tried it," Reynolds said. "Tried satellite phone, too, just in case the radios were being affected by something. In fact, I've dialed every number I can for Lampedusa, including the local police station and the joint we ordered pizza from the first night we docked there. No one is answering. I'm not trying to sound like an alarmist, but for one reason or another, that whole island has gone dark."
Kurt wasn't the type to jump to conclusions, yet the woman had used the word attack.
"A distress call is a distress call," Joe said, "even if it doesn't come from a ship. Tell them we're going to see what we can do to help."
"Figured you'd want to go that route," Reynolds said. "I checked the dive tables. Joe and Michelle can surface with you. Everyone else will have to go to the tank."
Kurt expected as much. He broke the news to the rest of the team. They quickly put their tools down, switched off the lights, began a very slow ascent, meeting up with the decompression tank as it lowered down on cables, in which they were hauled to the surface in pressurized safety. Kurt, Joe, and Michelle made their way to the surface in the powered hard suits, and Kurt was pulling off his gear when Reynolds gave him more bad news. Not a word had come from Lampedusa, nor were there any military or Coast Guard units within 100 miles of the island. That's from Pharaoh's Secret by Clive Cussler. And I was riveted from those first few pages, the first few minutes in my case, as I listened to this latest Clive Cussler NUMA Files novel on a recent weekend vacation I took. Pharaoh's Secret is the latest. It's number 13 in the NUMA Files series. And NUMA, in case you didn't know either, stands for U.S. National Underwater and Marine Agency's Special Assignments Team. It features two smart and fit dudes who are working as undercover government agents, while at the same time filling their free time with underwater archaeological adventures.
And so it is that we open this latest Numa novel with Kurt Austin and Joe Zavala just beginning to poke into a newly discovered Mediterranean shipwreck, a Roman and Carthaginian pair of ocean-going warships entangled in a death embrace far below the ocean surface. That story itself is well worthy of its own historical adventure novel, no doubt. But soon enough, the wisecracking Joe Zavala and his good friend and titular boss, Kurt Austin, find themselves caught up back on terra firma, embroiled in the complicated politics of the still-simmering Arab Spring, as they take on an emerging military-industrial complex that rose from the Egyptian uprisings of the 2010s. Only this military-industrial mix is bent on seizing power over all of North Africa and is engaged in a nefarious, one might even say evil, plot to drain the civilization-sustaining underground aquifers that flow below the African deserts, a plot that, if successful, will allow the bad guys to blackmail North African governments to cede their authority and enable the bad guys to seize power and see their viciously cruel leader rule as a modern pharaoh of Egypt and indeed of all of North Africa. Joining Joe and Kurt in their daunting task to bring justice to Africa and indeed the world are a cast of suave European and African characters, some of them on the side of righteousness, others on the side of chaos and death. They include a beautiful and film-worthy femme fatale who, thankfully for us, joined Austin and Joe in their righteous quest. Thrown a mysterious gas named the Black Mist that envelops a small Mediterranean island of Lampedusa, we just heard about that, with at first a paralytic coma and then a slow and inevitable death. The nefarious gas dates back to the time of the pharaohs in ancient Egypt, who used it to terrorize their own ancient revolutionaries. Most recently, the recipe for making the deadly gas was rediscovered by French and British archaeologists who swarmed over Egypt at the height of the Napoleonic Wars in the early 1800s and has just been reformulated by the evildoers of today's novel. Add some fast cars, chases through the Sahara Desert, and espionage that takes our heroes and readers on a journey down the Nile River, a lost cache of World War II vintage Italian arms and transport that is discovered by our good guys just in the nick of time. And you have a story not only ripped from the headlines of today, but one that reaches back in time as well. This is a story that captivates even as it speculates. The Pharaoh's Secret is a Clive Cussler novel worth your time. Yep. We have Clive Cussler, we've got Brad Thor, Wilbur Smith, Daniel Silva, contemporary novelists for whom action is the word, the theme, the thrust of their novels. Romance is hinted at, sex is suggested, but it is the daring do that features on just about every page. Question for the ages, will these guys' writing survive their death? Sure, these action writers' works are very popular now, selling millions of books and popping up on the New York Times bestsellers list with regularity. For heaven's sake, today's book is number 13 in just one series that Clive Cussler authors. But do Clive Cussler, Brad Thor, and the others take on themes and develop characters that will pull at our heartstrings and churn out our adrenaline for decades yet to come? I kind of doubt it. As Publishers Weekly put it bluntly when reviewing today's novel, quote, toss in vast underground chambers, pits of voracious alligators, Napoleon's foray into Egypt, mummified bullfrogs, and you could be anywhere in a number of other Cussler novels. But no matter the recycling of the same old stuff, Cussler fans will be perfectly happy, end quote. And that's kind of the point of reading Clive Cussler or Wilbur Smith or Brad Thor. Are they worth your time now? You betcha. If you're into action over dialogue and sterling, honorable characters who spur us to turn those pages or swipe those screens or change out those CDs, you won't do better. So grab this book, or reader, and crack the pages of this latest in the Numa series. You'll have adventures that will keep you on the edge of your seat and keep you locked in with your seatbelt for driveway moments for many, many hours to come. It's quite a gripping novel, and it's quite a series if you're find this one to be of particular interest, The Pharaoh's Secret, number 13 in the Numa files by Clive Cussler. It's available at all of our fine local libraries, including the West Lafayette Public Library.